this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Okay, hey everybody, welcome back for another episode of Y'allitics. We've got a familiar voice.
True.
With us.
Not the one you hear every week.
No.
And somewhat familiar.
But hopefully. A wonderful voice. This is the great Teresa Woodard filling
great.
In for the not so great Whiteley. I can say that because he's not here.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you.
It is wonderful to have you as always. We're recording this early in the morning. This is early in the morning by my standards.
It is somewhat for me too. Okay. I normally work the late shift, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that
so
alarm
instead
clock
of hurt. A little alcohol, we've both got coffee.
Yes. Yeah, so for our guests here, I don't know if y'all are aware, usually we discuss a topic having to do with Texas politics, and we have a Texas beer while we're doing it. It's a
In
very
order
laid
to make the discussion go down, sometimes you need a little alcohol to go with it.
Or to loosen things up a little bit. But yes, today I think we all have coffees and water because it's early in the morning. We've got a couple of extraordinary guests with us today, and so we want to just dive right in here. We have Andrew Yang, former Democratic presidential candidate from 2020. And we also have Christine Todd Whitman, the former governor of New Jersey and the EPA administrator in the George W. Bush administration. Thank you both for being with us.
Yeah. Pleasure.
It's great to be here. Thanks for getting up.
So
you were worth it.
I don't know that I'm totally awake yet, but we're working on it. Andrew Yang, you ran, of course, in the Democratic presidential primaries. Governor Whitman, you were a career Republican, served in a Republican administration and were a Republican governor of New Jersey. And here you all are together. And what brought you together is a new party called the Forward Party. Not left, not right,
but forward.
But forward is the motto. Tell us a little bit about that and why you're here in Texas.
Texas is an extremely important state. I think all Texans know that. They do tell everybody that as well, but that's not news. But no, seriously, it is. And Texas is looked on as a one-party state.
Absolutely.
And when you look at the fact that there are so many of your elective offices that are uncontested, where people don't have a choice, and you have offices that are never filled because nobody bothers, our democracy is in trouble. And we believe strongly in giving back power to the people, and Forward is a different kind of party in order to do that. It's hope for the hopeless and a home for the homeless, those people who don't feel comfortable with either the Republican or Democratic Party, although we will support candidates from either those parties, independent party, whatever, as long as they agree with our principles, which are pretty simple. Respect for the rule of law, uphold the Constitution, be willing to work across the aisle, and most importantly, be willing to change the way we choose our candidates. And that means working for open primaries and ranked choice voting so that every vote counts. Even if you live in a very Democratic district and you're a Republican or vice versa, your vote's going to matter because everybody's vote counts.
So real quickly there, you're saying that you will accept people from other parties. Like, let's say there's an elected leader now and they have a D next to their name or an R next to their name. You'll take them as long as they agree to your set of principles and they don't have to necessarily put an F next to their name.
Absolutely.
Have people who are making that distinction right now as Forward Democrats or Forward Republicans because they get it. And the reason why the governor and I are rallying so many Texans and Americans to this is that we all know our politics is not working. We all know our politics does not represent the vast majority of us at this point. And if you are a Democrat or an independent or even a moderate Republican in Texas, you're not sure whether your point of view is actually being represented in our elected leaders, and you're not alone. The fact is 75% of this country is a one-party system. We talk about this two-party system. In most of Texas, aside from a couple blue areas, they can ignore what most Democrats want. The same is true in reverse in a place like New York or California. Well, they just ignore what Republicans want. And then when we see our communities degrading, they say, you know who's to blame? Those people over there. They're just deflecting the fact that it's a system that is set up to fail us and our communities over and over again. When I came off the trail after I ran for president, I had objectively overachieved, but I still felt despondent about the nature of our politics. And so I dug into why, and I realized that it's the two-party system that is pitting us against each other, that is inflaming and antagonizing us, and is not meant to deliver solutions, not meant to deliver a better way of life. What is it meant to deliver? Aggravation, hostility, and also saying, look, we're one iota better than the other guys.
So you're talking about a system that's been in place for decades, generations. How do you begin to dismantle this? Because this is just who we are, it feels like, in America.
We're
all tribal, yes. Don't forget, this is what our founding fathers warned us against.
True.
That parties would supersede policy. And what we're doing is starting at the very base grassroots level. We are not putting a candidate up for president. That's not what we're doing.
So there's not going to be in 2024 a forward party candidate?
No. I mean, we may support a candidate. Mm-hmm. Various members of the forward party will undoubtedly support one candidate or the other. But that's not what we're doing. Like building a house, you have to have a good foundation. We are building a movement and a party that will actually change the way politics works, where the way the system is working now. Because what we have to do is break the hold that the two parties have over candidates. I mean, they determine what you can say, what policies you have to support, how you have to vote. That's just wrong. We want candidates who will actually support the people who elect them. And that's why we believe so strongly in ranked choice voting and open primaries and working at the grassroots level. I mean, it matters who's on your school board, who's on your library commission. We see that more and more. Who is your mayor? And people can relate to that as well, because you talk about Congress. And I said, we can't do anything about the Washington. That's crazy.
No, I love unpacking this statement, Teresa. It's like, it's who we are. I mean, who we are really is your listeners. And your listeners are frustrated, ticked mm-hmm. off. They don't feel like this ideological battle reflects who they are.
Absolutely.
And what they care about. And by the way, there are millions of Texans who resemble this. And the way we get out of this is we actually rise up and say, look, we're tired of the blue versus red nonsense. It's not left or right, it's forward. And then we start contesting the 43% of uncontested local races here in Texas. You make common cause with people who, you know, might be leaning to one party or the other and say, look, you can put that stuff down. You know, right, like we're not going to let them play us and manipulate us against each other. And it turns out that the majority of local races here in Texas are nonpartisan by nature. So forward can make a huge difference very quickly. It's one reason why the governor and I are here in Texas. We're going from here to Austin and Houston. And in each environment, hundreds of people have signed up because they know it's not working. And we can change it. I'm a numbers guy. The numbers are all there. There are at least 3 million Texan voters who are aligned with this message in a state where 8 million voted for governor. And if you look at the math, you don't need 51% of state legislators to change everything in the state. What do you need? You might need 5, 10% of legislators. And we can get that. The people who are listening to this, you all listen to this because you want a better way of life for yourself, and you know whatever is happening right now is not delivering. So this is how we deliver it. That's why the governor and I are here.
And we believe everybody should have a choice. I mean, when you think about the assembly here, the state legislature, of the 150 members, 58 of those seats are uncontested.
Absolutely.
Everyone should have a choice. Mm-hmm. And that's where there are 500,000 elective offices across the country, and in any given year, almost 70% of those are uncontested, and of those, 5 to 10% are never filled. That's just wrong.
They're not contested because this is the game the parties
right.
are playing.
Yeah. Exactly.
The parties just split it up into blue and red turf,
yes.
and then if you're in blue turf, they've mm-hmm. got it. Red turf, they've got it. They pretend there's a contest. There is not a contest. The governor just laid out the numbers. We're going to create the competition. Mm-hmm. We are the pro-dynamism, pro-competition party.
How do you do that, though? Because in this state for a long time, just as you say, it has been whoever wins the primary is the winner in the general. And we know
whoever
that
wins the Republican primary.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we know that that's a tiny sliver of the electorate
right.
that's showing up for the primary. So you might have the people on the most, you know, and you mentioned other states that are blue.
Right.
You might have the people who are the most extreme on the edges here who are showing up and picking the winner, not just for the primary, but essentially for the general election as well. How do you shake that system? I know that you all want to, you know, you push for independent commissions for redistricting, which is huge. You're pushing for ranked choice voting, which is, you know, proven itself in a lot of places. It's been confusing, but, you know, it does produce a different outcome than what we've seen in the past. But it also
produces a different type of campaign.
It does, and because you have to appeal to the whole.
You have to appeal to everybody, and you want to be liked. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, you want to be the second choice on everybody's ballot because of this, how the system works. It's an instant runoff is the best way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
If no one gets to 51%, the bottom candidate gets knocked off. Their second place votes get allocated up the ballot. And you keep going till someone has 51% of the support, 50.1. I mean, wouldn't that be nice to have somebody in office who actually had a majority of the voters' support? And it's by giving people the feeling that their vote will matter. That's the difference. They don't vote because why
Jason,
vote?
You're asking the right question, which is the tactical on the ground question.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have a district in Texas and there's been a Republican in charge. They haven't been challenged really for quite some time and everyone just takes it for granted. And then someone pops up and let's say they're a reasonable business leader type and they say, hey guys, I'm running on the Forward Party against this person who has checked out, honestly. And now, in most of these environments, if they ran with a D next to their name, it would be a loser because everyone's like, oh, I don't like the Dems.
Right.
If you run as Forward, this is the magic. You run as Forward Texas, no one knows what the heck that means. They look at it and say, like, I have not been trained to love or hate this, so I guess I have to listen to the person. I have to hear what they're about. And guess what? They're going to be probably about what you want. Be like, oh, this is the common sense representative and leader that I wanted. And then that person can compete and win in places. By the way, the Democrats aren't even trying to win in a lot of these places.
Right.
And it's also true in reverse. Like we are genuinely pro-competition in both environments.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in blue areas that are frustrated with what the Dems are doing or not doing. And the Dems are like, well, like we have nothing to worry about.
Right.
Because if you run as an R in Austin, you're probably
right.
Toast. But if you run as Forward, again, it's like, I don't know what that means. So let me check the person out. Again, we're being set up. We're being set up to fail by the R versus D fake battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to show up and present genuine choices. And we're not going to be able to do it in every district in Texas, but we can do it in a critical mass and make headway here very, very quickly.
Well, so with that hypothetical Forward candidate that you might put forward against, a longtime Republican, would that candidate maybe have an F in front of their name? And the reason I ask this is because we did a podcast. Gosh, it feels like it was forever ago now, but it was with a no labels sort of movement here in Texas.
Sure.
And they expressed to us how hard it was to get the infrastructure going to be a third party, to not be a D or an R, because they said the two parties had this so worked out that they get edged out by both of those parties and prevented from being on the ballot.
Yeah, so that's what we're in the midst of changing right now. So the other reason the governor and I are here is to get people to sign up for the Forward Party of Texas so that we can be recognized as a major party. We're already recognized as a minor party here in Texas. But if we get a critical mass of signatories,
82,000,
very doable.
Hmm.
We're already on the way there.
So 82,000 and you're considered a major party in Texas.
Yeah, okay. And then you can show, by the way.
Is that online signatures or people have to actually physically sign something?
It's a little involved because the two parties make it hard.
Imagine that.
So if it was online, we'd probably be there already.
No, it's in person.
But, there's a little bit of a rigmarole, but it's you know not that difficult. So if this interests you, go to forwardparty.com. No, actually, make that texasforwardparty.org or .com. And
we'll
check
have
it out
in the description for the podcast.
Oh, please. That's so exciting.
Just so
we
get it right.
But I want to make something clear, too, is that we are practical operators, where if someone running as a Republican in that district makes more sense, go for it. We could back them too.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes more sense for them to run Forward Party, great. Like here's a dirty secret that everyone knows. You know what letter you put next to your name, whatever you think will help you win. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who show up and just like, hey, what am I doing? What am I running as? I guess I'm running as this. And by the way, each party machine has that place on lock. Like, you show up to a blue zone, they're like, well, you're going to have to run as a Democrat. And then you've got layers and layers of hierarchy and seniority and special interests and money, and then you're going to play the game. That's why we're all fed up.
Well, we've seen that with changing districts here in Texas, where as the district changes, so does the long-time representative.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? I've changed parties. Yes. I'm deciding I'm going to do
this.
You can't do any of this without funding. So where is your money coming from, and what's your goal? Because clearly you cannot run a race without funding. You cannot run a candidate without funding.
So we have a budget for the Texas infrastructure rollout you're describing. The budget's about $1.5 million to get major party status. Now, people listening to this can react to that both ways, which is like, that's either not much money or a lot of money, depending upon one's perspective. Mm-hmm. But you've hit the nail on the head, which is you have these two parties that have gamed it. And then to build an alternative is going to take some resources. But guess what? Me and the governor and Chris Novoselic of Nirvana and everyone that we work with are here for the long haul, because we know that this system is not going to deliver by design.
And we're raising money actively now, as is the Texas Forward Party. So again, people listening, if you go online,
Someone listening to this is rich. I can sense
Somebody's rich. This is Texas.
Who is rich.
We know they're rich.
I mean, you've got Jason Wheeler. You know, he's the richest man in DFW.
If that's true, we're all in trouble. But no, you're right. I mean, so you're raising it grassroots.
Yes.
And both of you are back in the fundraising game.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's good times. Absolutely. We're going to get in a rental vehicle and dollar for dollars later today. Yeah. It's the governor's favorite thing to do.
I love it.
That's a joke.
I hate it.
I can tell you just
Andrew's great at it. I'm terrible.
Just after a few minutes of meeting you and talking with you, I could tell that you probably do not like that kind of stuff.
I was lucky. I had somebody in my campaigns who did that.
Yeah.
I might close the deal, but I'm not good at the ask.
So some people might think that you all are kind of odd bedfellows here, and I'm just curious. You know, would the two of you, would you vote for one another based upon what you know about the other? And would you ever appear on a ticket together? Do you all plan to run again ever?
I don't. Certainly.
That was quick.
Been there, done that. No, thank you.
Decisive.
No, not me.
You know what unites me and the governor is what unites a lot of people who are listening to this right now is love of country, desire to make things better for our kids and our grandkids, at least in the governor's case.
You'll get there.
I know. My kids are a little young. I got to admit, we're already scheming. We're already trying to incept them.
Blink a few times and it will be here. It's amazing how fast it goes.
But I think me and the governor are perfect emblems of what Forward is about, because we have never sat and tried to hash out policy discussions and differences. We probably don't agree on some things, but we can agree on the mission.
Right.
And on the fact, and by the way, this is what Texans want. You know what Texans want? Texans do not imagine that everyone's going to agree with them and that everyone's going to sit there and we're just going to do the same thing. But what Texans want is to have reasonable folks who have the public's best interest in mind to sit there, hash out policies based upon what actually is working and what people want.
But doesn't it concern you that we see so many people who are tribal now and who say, burn it down if it makes the other side suffer? Burn it down, and I believe everything my candidate and my party says, and I'm not even going to listen to what anybody else has to say.
There's a group of those, but if you look at registration across the country, the biggest party is the unaffiliated, the independents. Those are people that set a pox on both your houses. And I think one of the important things to know about Forward is the National Party is not going to devote and develop a platform in the traditional sense. We are going to have the principles. And then it's up to the state Forward parties to adopt the platforms around the issues that are important to their state. Mm. Because what's important in Texas is not the same thing as what's important in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And we want to have candidates who are talking to those issues that are important to their constituents, and that's what they'll represent. It doesn't mean that when they get to the legislature, they can't come together on the big issues that transcend a particular district or area. They will, and they can, because they're used to that kind of thing, because they're Forward, because they believe in those principles. But they also are going to talk about what's really critical to the state. And that's what's going to be different, because we right now, I mean, I use this, Andrew's heard it before. We've heard each other a lot before a lot of the stories, but you know, when I, after I run, ran my, after I won my reelect as governor, I was asked to run for the Senate. Didn't really want to, but I said, okay, there's a lot of pressure on. I went down to Washington. I met with the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, and I was told in no uncertain terms, and that was the verbiage, was if you say one word about campaign finance reform, you won't get a penny out of us.
Wow.
And I said, okay, I'm out of here. I mean, that's not the way I operate, but that's what they do. This is what you have to toe the line. You have to vote this way. You have to care about these issues. The heck with what your constituents want. And in fact, they don't want, they being the parties, don't really want to solve the big issues because they use them to excite their base, to get more of that base vote out. And that's what's so skewered our political system.
It's part of the sickness. That's where the sickness
absolutely.
Begins.
Absolutely.
You have talked about ranked choice voting, nonpartisan primaries, independent redistricting commissions as sort of being the keys. Is there any state that's doing those things and doing them well right now? Or are you looking at all states and saying, everybody needs to rethink things?
There have been three states that have voted to get rid of their party primaries, Maine and Alaska, and then Nevada this past November. And in Alaska, you saw very, very immediate powerful effects where Sarah Palin lost to a no-name state legislator named Mary Peltola, would not have happened under a traditional system. But also Lisa Murkowski, the only Republican senator who voted to impeach Donald Trump, who was up for re-election in 22. And she fended off a Trump-endorsed challenger because there was no party primary. And so you already saw a legislator able to vote on principle and survive in a way that would not have been true for, let's say, the 10 Republican House members who voted to impeach Trump, eight of whom did not make it back. And then that's in a system when the incumbent reelect rate is 94%. So everyone can see, it's like, okay, you go against the base, you're done. But if you get rid of the primaries, then you know, the majority of folks can look at someone like Lisa Murkowski's vote and say, like, I can accept this person. Like, maybe I didn't love that vote, but you know, there are other things to vote on.
You hold up the Alaska example as a success. On the other end of that, you know that other people see that and it creates fear and they go, uh-oh.
Well, the parties do. Oh, absolutely.
So our power.
Here in Texas, that was talked about this year. Like, oh, let's make sure we don't get to ranked choice voting.
Some states have passed legislation to prohibit ranked choice voting. I mean, that's the sad thing for Americans to think about. They're telling you, you can't make your vote count. Now, if you're an independent in some states where it's difficult to, or you can't vote at all in a primary, that's it. Your vote doesn't, you're a non-person as far as the parties are concerned. But if you look at Nevada, when they put that ranked choice voting on the ballot, both parties came out big time.
Yeah. So people mistakenly think that it somehow like helps one side or the other. Like the governor said, the Democrats came out against it in Nevada. And there are probably a lot of folks who listen to this who like figures like Glenn Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin was nominated via ranked choice voting by the Virginia GOP. What ranked choice voting does is it actually brings out majority appeal. And Glenn Youngkin was just a more electable candidate. If Republicans wanted more electable candidates, they would just say, let's go with this process.
Well, I think it's fascinating, but I worry it's pie in the sky, Pollyanna. I mean,
but we see it happening, and it happens in countries around the world too. Ireland has it. What were the other? There's several.
Australia.
Well, Australia has mandatory voting, but. Still, you get the choice. I mean, and people, they like it.
I'm actually going to reverse this and say this is overdue. We are overdue for
disagree.
Some kind of
change.
Political realignment.
We need change.
And I've looked at the history. I've looked at the trends. I mean, we have this 49% self-identified as independent. That's twice as high as it was when Ross Perot ran in 1992. The faith in that the current system's working, record lows.
Right.
Two-thirds of young people don't like either party. All of the trends are heading in this direction. The question is, what is going to come of this energy? Is it going to be the tear it down, nothing's working, I don't believe any of you energy, which by the way, that energy is rising and winning.
Yeah, it is.
Or is it going to be the look, we get it. Things are not working because the system has been rigged to exclude you. We are going to unrig it as fast as we can. Now, unrigging it is not fast, it's not cheap, it's not easy, but we're fucking Americans and we have done this before. So we're either going to do it now or watch this state and the rest of the country continue to be at each other's throats and wonder what the heck happened.
I was going
to
ask that. What if this doesn't work? What if this fails? What if this doesn't catch on?
We're not thinking that way. And but, there were 10 ballot initiatives last year and local elections for ranked choice voting. 8 of them passed. I mean, once people understand it gives them the power to be heard, they want it, and they will support it. It's getting that message out and explaining to them, you know, what the parties say, and they've done this in several states. Their pushback against it is it's too confusing. Mm-hmm. You can't think one, two. You can't make choices. I mean, you do it every day in your life. So to tell you that you're too dumb to be able to pick and rate candidates on a ballot is an insult.
But simple math. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if we stay with the current system as it is, what's your outlook for this country?
I'm afraid we're going to lose our democracy.
How long will that take?
Unfortunately, not as long as I'd like it to.
Unfortunately, you can measure it in months, not years at this point.
Exactly.
It's that dire.
It's that dire. It really is.
We can all see it. I mean, I'm a numbers guy, and the polarization and political stress are at literal civil war levels. By the way,
talked about that out loud. Including elected leaders.
Yes.
And this is, we are right now an anomaly in our own history, but we're also an anomaly worldwide. Like there are not a ton of examples of two-party systems that have become this polarized around the world. A lot of other countries are looking at us being like, what is going on with you guys? And the thing is, we are being set up by a series of corrupt design choices, really. And the message that, because I'm in some ways like a, you know, a terrible politician. Like I'm a numbers and systems guy. Like I'm just going to throw a couple numbers out that illustrate where we are. Like the approval rating of U.S. Congress right now is like 20%, 22%. Mm-hmm. The incumbent reelect rate is 94%. So think about it, if you were in a business environment where 4 out of 5 of your customers were pissed off and you change nothing. Like that's what America's political system is right now. And then when people are getting more and more aggravated, they're being told, you know why you're aggravated? Like it's because of the other team.
Yeah.
And it's tearing apart families. It's tearing apart communities. It's tearing apart friendships. Okay. That's where we're going. And the way to get off this ride to hell, honestly, is to change the political dynamic. Mm-hmm. So as people discover, it's like, wait a minute, like that's what I want. And that's why we're here in Texas. I cannot tell you how uplifting it is to be around the volunteers and activists and leaders who are raising their hand here in Texas. Mm-hmm. Tons of service families, tons of military veterans who are accustomed to country over party. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like this is the mission. And we know we're going to succeed because failure is not an option.
So you're seeing a response here in Texas, though.
Oh, yes. A really good response. You have elected officials. You have, as Andrew says, a lot of military, because for the most part, they stay apolitical when they're in the service. Mm-hmm. And they stay that way when they get out. And they are, in fact, Andrew has that great example of Nevada, of the last ad, the ad that really took ranked choice voting over the edge of a Marine.
Right? Yeah, it was a military veteran who was looking at the camera saying, I went overseas to defend the country for years. I came back and I can't vote in our primaries. I don't think that's right. And then
that's not right. But that's essentially what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So many people, votes are just tossed. And you see legislatures making efforts now to actively make it more difficult for people to vote.
Mm-hmm. We've certainly seen that in Texas.
Yes, you've had a number of bills.
My last question for you, you've talked about polarization, and we've seen hate, absolute hate from both sides, but we also see so much apathy, especially in Texas. People don't vote. That's what people say. Right. Texas is not a red state, it's a non-voting state. Mm-hmm. How do you reach those folks who have just hit the limit where they say, this is BS, I can't listen to it anymore, and I'm just not going to participate.
Well, because, Andrew, you said 8 million people voted for the governor's race
last
time.
There's almost 30 million people in Texas.
Well, there were another 8-plus million who were registered and didn't show up.
Exactly. Well, that's what got us here. It started with people just being lazy in primary, saying, it's a sunny day, I'll go play golf, or it's raining and I don't want to get wet, and not bothering to vote. And now it's gotten to the point where, well, my vote's not going to matter because I'm all in a red and white. And then they get discouraged like that and walk away from it. We're offering them hope. Mm-hmm. That's why I said we're hope for the hopeless, because we are saying this is a real thing that can happen. It's happening now in states around the country. It is happening around the world. It is what our founding fathers, it's how we were governed as a country in the early years. I mean, for decades. And now we said, we got to bring that back. That's what we're doing, is bringing back the kind of democracy that was envisioned.
Like, there are two things I'd say here. I think a lot of people are checked out of politics because they don't think it's going to make a difference, and they don't want to get caught in a nasty conflict. Mm-hmm. And so we actually are exciting some people who are in that camp, because they're like, oh, wait a minute. You don't want me to engage in a nasty conflict. You're actually about bring people together and saying, like, the blue versus red stuff is noxious and, like, not what we need. But also, you're calling out that historically, if I had voted, a lot of the times it wouldn't have mattered because mm-hmm. of the way the system is set up. Right. And so I have met, and the governor has too, met with people where a light bulb goes off, and they say, like, now this I can get excited about. Right. This I can get behind, because you're not asking me to hate someone. Yeah. You're not asking me to, like, defeat the enemy. You're asking me to unrig the system and make it so that I've heard hundreds of times, it's like, wow, this is the first hope I've felt in a long time.
Right.
I will be amazed if you can actually make something succeed that's not preying on people's anger and their fear, because that's what it has become. It seems
they
like
want to get out from under that, though. Yeah. That's what every poll shows, that
there's
the American people do not like this. They're
and this is what your listeners are about. I mean, your listeners come here for that sense of solace and reason and perspective
and real discussions
and real discussions. So that's why we're here, and that's why we need your listeners and every Texan who wants a better future to say, okay, this is our path out of this mess. Mm-hmm.
Last question from me. How much will we see the two of you, or, you know, high profile people with the Forward Party in the next year here in Texas? And how likely are we to see campaign ads on the air that are from the Forward Party or candidates? How many of those might we see?
Our plan is to recruit dozens of candidates around the state in this cycle. Yeah. And then we're going to campaign with and for them and help them succeed. I'm moving to Texas. No, I'm kidding. I'm not.
You almost made news there.
Come on and join
bury
us.
The lead.
But we are,
we'll probably be here a lot.
We are practical long-term builders, mm-hmm. And we're going to win offices here in Texas, and we're going to celebrate those victories. So you're going to see more of me, the governor. You know, I just keep saying Chris Novoselic of Nirvana because he just joined the board last month, and I'm still jazzed about it.
Yeah.
But there are new people joining Forward all the time. We have exciting announcements around the country. We just got a mayor in Florida. We have some more people switching next week. That are going to be newsworthy, and this is what America wants.
You're going to have to wait.
But
we had four.
Such a good tease.
Well, no, we had four Democratic senators who in Nevada who have become Forward
Democrats.
Democrats.
Yeah. Three of them are Latino.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we have people from every walk of life.
So y'all are going to be making news very soon. And doesn't it just, I said that was my last question, doesn't that build momentum as you start?
He does this all the time, by the way.
I do this all the time. I promise this is the last one. Does that momentum sort of build on itself, though, when you have people who start to join on and then it reaches a critical mass?
Well, when people talk about it. I mean, every one of your listeners is an influencer, even though they may not think of themselves that way, because people, the old adage, all politics is local. It does matter. If you've heard something today that you like about Forward, tell your friends to take a look at this. See whether this works for you. And that's how you get the word out. I mean, we'd like to have 45 candidates by 2024.
In Texas
that are either Forward Democrats, Republicans, or Forward Party candidates themselves, mm-hmm. and working toward these ends. But that really works. Word of mouth really does work.
I'm really done now. I promise.
And
I know
they're taking a sigh of relief.
Well, you all have to get to a brunch, and we don't want to interrupt. I mean, you're here to do real work on the ground, and that is signing people up, talking to people, getting mm-hmm. them to listen, maybe raising money.
Yeah.
Always. You know. That's Andrew.
Again, we're practical builders.
The numbers guy.
The numbers guy.
Andrew Yang, former presidential candidate in the Democratic Party, and former New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman.
Great conversation.
Both with the Forward Party now. Mm-hmm. And again, we've got more information in the description here in the podcast if you want to know more or want to get involved.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us.
ForwardParty.com.